Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey, welcome back to Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw. With me today, we're just keeping it to the core team. We have Janelle Wheeler.
Hey, everybody.
Matthew Aguilar.
Yo, yo.
And we are going to be going over a variety of fun geek stuff today. As you know, things are starting to get back in motion, guys. We are getting up out of this rut. Things are starting to kind of open up. We're a little confused about how all that's going, but it's starting. And as such, the entertainment industry is coming back too. There's a lot of upfronts going on today, even as we speak. So we're not going to be on the cutting edge of all that, obviously, because we're here talking to you guys. But there is stuff that's starting to come out. We're getting forward motion, new projects, things to get excited about. And so we're going to go over some of the things that are in development right now and kind of breaking out news and talk about all of that. And maybe we'll just keep it a surprise for everybody today. I'm sure you can see the name of the episode, but we'll just get into it. What's all the preamble about, you know? So let's start it up. Let's get started. Warner Media. There's a lot going on with Warner Media right now, and we're going to get into all of that. There's a new merger happening that's kind of crazy and raises some questions about, you know, the future. But let's keep it to the simple stuff right now. There's a new Batman animated series coming our way.
Yes. I'm so excited.
It's called Batman Caped Crusader, and it's going to have a dual kind of debut on HBO Max and Cartoon Network. Not only is it coming, are we getting a new... That sounded so bad. Not only is it we getting a new Batman animated series... but Bruce Timm, the architect and guru of the original Batman, the animated series, is going to be involved. Yeah. J.J. Abrams is involved. And also, most interestingly, Matt Reeves, the director of the Batman movie with Robert Pattinson, is also involved. So they already put out a piece of art for the series, which you can look at it on comicbook.com. DC.
Dope.
Yeah, and it's at once both Bruce, it's Bruce Timm in the way that it is kind of like a new version of Batman, but very much kind of feels like a throwback version of Batman and very noirish. It's got the moon and clouds and Batman silhouette over Gotham City with his inside of his cape while he's folding it over himself. And they say it's going to utilize state-of-the-art animation techniques and technologies. I don't know what that means. I know fans are very fickle about how kind of like especially characters like Batman get presented versus the CGI versus the kind of Tim Paul Dini kind of throwback animation art. But it's exciting, right? I mean, are you guys excited about this?
I'm pumped, dude. I mean, just this art is gorgeous. I would frame that and put it on my wall. It is so pretty. They did such a good job with Harley. Like, I know it's probably going to be a completely different vibe than Harley Quinn, but I am so... I'm not super into animated TV shows normally, but like Harley got me fired up. I'm really excited about it now. And I'm like, okay, I can actually take in an animated series, take it seriously, have some fun with it, laugh. Like it's an adult, you know, show. And I really am pumped about this. I know Batman has been done so many times. So I hope to see what these things are that are going to make it different that they're talking about in this article, which by the way, I linked in the chat if anybody wants to see. And yeah, it's really exciting. I'm pumped.
Maddie, how you feeling?
Feeling good, man. This is good. It looks awesome. It's kind of like 2021 Tim. You know what I mean? Like it still looks classic in the way like the angles are, the ear, you know, that kind of thing. But it looks nice. It looks modern. Something that even some of the recent like DC Batman movies, you know, have leaned into a little, but not a lot. Like they still look classic in a lot of ways, even those with that kind of house DC style. So like I'm excited for this. I am interested in how the trio works, you know, because we know what a Tim series is. And to an extent, like we know what a JJ led thing is, you know. I mean, he's worked on comics before with his son most recently in Spider-Man, which wasn't so great. But you know, then he's done a bunch of awesome movies. So like I'm interested to see what he brings to the table. And then also having Reeves on is awesome. I'm curious as to how that dynamic works. Like I know we always talk about like interviews and like roundtable interviews sometimes are like, but like this is one I would actually love to see because I would kind of want to see the relationship.
I feel like they're all big fans of Batman. So
it must be.
Yeah.
Just like, I want to be involved. I'm just curious.
Let's read the statement. So Bruce Timm, J.J. Abrams, and Matt Reeves released a joint statement that said, "We are beyond excited to be working together to bring this character back to tell engrossing new stories in Gotham City. The series will be thrilling, cinematic, and evocative of Batman's noir roots while diving deeper into the psychology of these iconic characters. We cannot wait to share this world." Yeah. So I feel like even though Batman the Animated Series was its own creation and very much the creation of people like Bruce Timm, it was also spun out of Batman 1989 and came after that movie. And while not directly copying it or like being in that universe, it did evoke a lot of the same aesthetic and kind of themes. And it was generally that darker kind of take on Batman. Mm-hmm. While still being kind of throwback in the way that Tim Burton did it.
Yeah.
And so you could see the kind of stylistic influences with Matt Reeves involved. I'm kind of curious in the way they're describing this noir, the word noir, you know, as in film noir, if people don't know, really has me curious because it makes me feel like they are, while probably not, like I said, not making this in universe to the Batman, using the same kind of technique as they did back in the 90s and using that stylistic influence to make it feel like the same kind of push. You know what I mean? Like
familiar in some way for everyone who's a big fan, right? I mean,
Yeah.
But I just want the retro tech. That's all I want. Because they always they always push that off as like, you know, hey, we're kind of in the modern time, but like everyone still drives retro cars and like all the buildings still look like 1920s. And I love that aesthetic. I'm curious how the world looks in this version. If they kind of soup everything up. I love that old, that retro vibe. So I'm kind of hoping they keep that.
Yeah.
Already in the comments, people are starting. Guys, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but the odds of Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy like coming back to do the, if you like, you know, voicing the Joker and Batman respectively, that seems like it's pretty low, right? Like we're not expecting.
I mean, Conroy at this point, both of those guys kind of, I feel like, have to be convinced now to do a project. They have so many under the belt. They've done it for so long. They're so good at it. Like, I feel like unless you're going to challenge them, right? Like they came back for the Killing Joke. And, you know, regardless of how that was received by changes in the story and stuff, like it was like, oh, it's nice to have them back. But like it took the Killing Joke to get, you know, to kind of, hey, we're going to go do this more mature story and we're going to lean into it, whatever. That's what it kind of took to kind of get them back in those roles. I think we're getting to a point, guys, where like we're gonna have to get used to not having them in those parts just because A, they want to do other stuff or B, you know, like they're getting older, right? So like you're gonna have to get used to that. It's the same thing with Optimus Prime. Like at some point we're gonna have to deal with the fact that we'll be Peter voicing it. I don't want that day to come anytime soon. I'm just saying. It's, you know,
This seems like this seems very much like we're going for a new era Batman. So I wouldn't be surprised if new voices come along with that. And there's probably other people who can put their stamp on this really well and really impress us and make us happy too. So that's what's going on with the Batman animated series. But Warner Media didn't just announce that. If Batman getting an animated series, Superman's getting an animated series. Hey. And I question this one a little bit, I'll say.
Oh, okay.
But it's called My Adventures with Superman. And it's a kid-friendly, family-friendly animated series. And the premise of this one is that Clark Kent, Lois Lane, and Jimmy Olsen are young 20-somethings kind of coming in the professional world. Lois Lane's trying to build her, and Clark Kent are obviously trying to build their journalism career. And they're kind of an investigative journalism team, the three of them, right? Lois, Clark, and Jimmy. And as they kind of investigate things and look into things, it will also be parallel to Clark Kent's kind of rise and development to become Superman, right? Mm. So, yeah.
So it's like a backstory situation a little bit?
It's a series, quoting Warner Media, it is a serialized coming-of-age story that will see Clark Kent build his Superman identity, embrace his role of Metropolis hero, while Lois, who is herself growing into the role of a star investigative journalist, takes aspiring photographer Jimmy Olsen under her wing. Mm. So we're going to see Lois and Clark falling in love, sharing adventures, and taking down bad guys, all while stumbling over secrets and discovering what it means to be Superman and Lois Lane. So, like, yeah, it'll be kind of them doing their investigative journalism thing. And of course, then Clark having to find ways to save their butts over and over again as Lois is like, I busted you, drug ring. And they're like, we're going to kill you. And then Superman, swoops in and saves the day. Yeah, and
I'm interested in this. Why? Yeah. What about it is like kind of like irking you?
Everything. But
well, no, I want to know because I really follow your lead on these.
No, don't follow my lead. It only leads to a cliff. But it's basically like a kiddie version of what I feel like Lois and Clark was in the 90s, right?
Got it.
Which I loved.
Okay.
I did love that show back then. It hasn't aged super well, but I loved it. Neither have like certain things about its cast and show, but like I loved it back then. I loved it back then. I will say this sounds sort of like a reworked, like if you move the timeline around in Smallville to where like Erica Durance came on as Lois, and yeah, like that from that point on, that's what this feels like.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah,
which I'm cool. I love Smallville, right? I as much as I like bang on the drum of like I dig Superman when he's like Superman already. I dig those stories. I do have this like thing for early Superman stuff. And when it's done well, it can be really, really good. And they did only show one still of the animation style. I dig it. It's got a, you know, like it's got its own.
It's aesthetic. Very much it's anime, but it feels like almost like Steven Universe or something like that.
Right. Okay. I didn't want to say anime because I know that's like generalized for me. Like someone like me who doesn't really know a ton about the genre. So I don't want to just throw that out there. I got roasted by Megan Peters. I remember I think it was like one of our first episodes for calling. What did I say about Pokemon? I think I said something about Pokemon and she like lit me up ever since. Yeah. I've been very cautious.
You gotta be careful with experts.
I gotta
watch. Megan Peters is our comic book anime queen. She knows
I'm not an anime expert by any means. But I dig it. I think it could be good. It could also fall flat on its face. But I don't think I'm okay with the premise so far. We'll see how it plays out. I wanna see it in action.
I think its saving grace could be where the Batman cartoon is very kind of moody and noir. This looks like it could be lighthearted and funny.
Okay.
And if it's funny, like it could be really good. The picture makes me think the star of the show will really end up being Lois as opposed to anybody else.
Which I'm okay with.
She looks like kind of like a zany, crazy, like trying to get out there and gotcha journalism, trying to, you know, make her bones and do all that. And I'm sure Clark will provide the kind of more wholesome, like, you know, all shucks counterbalance to her. So, it could be funny. And I think the will they, won't they about, you know, Lois figuring out who Clark is and all that could be good for kids. I just don't see like the older DC crowd kind of like flocking to this.
Right.
It does have a good voice cast. We'll have Jack Quaid, star of The Boys, as Clark Kent Superman, and Alice Lee from Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist as Lois Lane. So,
good cool. cast, man. Yeah. I will say the thing coming out of all this, though, as Abdul pointed out in the comments, Where the hell is a Wonder Woman anime series? You have two of the Trinity. Why is there not, like, don't get me wrong, I'm interested in the Superman one. And I get you're going to have a World's Finest thing, right? You're going to have a Batman series, you're going to have a Superman series. But, like, Wonder Woman series, the Wonder Woman animated movies are, like, bar none, some of the best DC movies that DC has done.
No lie detected.
So, like, how the hell do you not just take that style and just give her a damn series? I mean, definitely. I don't understand.
Since we have so many different Wonder Women running around right now.
Right? Like,
yeah.
There's three. Like, just give one of them a show. I don't under, like, that's one, again, make judgments. Maybe they'll announce one a day. Who knows? And then, great. I'm all on board. But it just seems weird that we keep doing this. And mm-hmm. and DC now doesn't have, it's, there's not the excuse right now of, like, well, there's nothing happening in Wonder Woman. There's a ton of stuff happening in Wonder Woman. It's one of actually the most interesting parts of the DCU right now.
Yep.
So why don't we do something with it? Come on, guys.
People all have right. your back on this. I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Matt, Sean King agrees. People are with you, Matt. Matt's agenda is alive and well. So that wasn't the only animated series that WarnerMedia announced. They also announced several digital shorts that they'll be putting out, which is an increasingly popular form. I'm going to be talking about later, Love, Death, and Robots being back and how much I love that on Netflix. But WarnerMedia is also going to be doing a Rick and Morty spinoff about the Vindicators as an animated short. And if you don't know what that is, if you don't watch, like, if you watch Rick and Morty, but maybe you didn't catch this, in season three, there was this episode where basically, you find out that Rick and Morty are kind of informal parts of a Justice League or Avengers team called the Vindicators. And it's a great episode where they have, like, this, they're doing a threequel where they kind of bring Rick and Morty back to do this threequel against this massive supervillain. But Rick gets drunk, kills the supervillain, and then sets a bunch of traps just to show Morty how the Vindicators are really just a lie and a bunch of crap. And it's really a kind of superhero deconstruction episode. It's an episode deconstructing the entire superhero genre in media and the tropes and, you know, how flimsy they can be. But the team was great. It had, like, some funny characters voiced by, like, Christian Slater and what's her name from Community? Oh, man, I'm blanking on her name. Britta from Community. What's her name? Jillian Jacobs. Yeah, Jillian Jacobs and what's his name? Lance Reddick. And so, like, they had really funny things. And it got to be a messed up episode. Like, the Vindicators had a lot of issues that Rick brought up. So I'm very happy on this. And I just threw it in here just because I want to talk about it. And I love Rick and Morty.
And that's all that really matters, Nate.
I'm the only person that has, like, never watched Rick and Morty. I never got into it. But again, I'm new to animated series. I'm a big animated series person. I know.
Someone captured
the opinions of Janelle Wheeler of Janelle Wheeler and not that of Comic Book Nation, comicbook.com website or its affiliates.
I think this is, like, brilliant. I mean, personally, I'm just like, I think this is it's the perfect time to do this little, like, thing right now. I think it's just, yeah. Like, how did this not happen sooner is really the question for me. But I think this is great. So, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, executive producers Sarah Carbonier and Erica Rosby, if I'm sorry if I butchered your names, ladies, I feel like I just did. They said that we're thrilled to work in the Rick and Morty universe again. These shorts are an incredible opportunity to explore what happens in the aftermath of the Vindicator saving or destroying worlds. We're excited to show how this team of superheroes is plenty dysfunctional, whether Rick's around to have half of them murdered or not. So it was, if nothing else, the Vindicators episode is good because it is a pretty fair, if not biting, criticism of superhero tropes and how they can be kind of thin. And it makes some good points, but just seeing how Vindicators think they maybe do good and then leave a world and people are still, like, really messed up is a thing. And it's a growing, actually, trope in comic books. Like, even Batman is now dealing with things like, am I really doing good by running around and beating up people, or are there other ways I should be helping the world? And I feel like that's just a natural reaction to what's been going on in the world in the last year. People beginning to wonder, like, is superheroes taking out supervillains, like, really the only thing we should be doing? And so I'm kind of interested to see what they do with this. And I'm just interested to see how the Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon, the creators of Rick and Morty, react to going full franchise and having a spinoff, because they are notoriously kind of fickle about, you know, everything from serialized canon with that episode that just pissed everybody off in season four, the canon train or whatever they did, the continuity train. And so I'm interested to see how this all fits together. But that's some new animated stuff coming our way. And last but not least, before we take a quick break, let's talk about the Batman. So we had some new Batman promo art, and you know, that's news because we've seen like nothing from this movie. So yeah. Anything we get is pretty good. But it seems like the more and more people seem to be loving this kind of stuff. And the promo art gave us just kind of more hints. I think the Riddler was a big deal in this, and kind of getting a good look at the Riddler mask with the thing over his mouth and all that. New looks creepy at the Batmobile. You know, more kind of looks at the costume, and of course just the concept of the stylistic kind of concepts they're going with. But Robert Pattinson turns 35 last week, and I'm looking at this stuff and I really cannot wait for this movie, and I hope we start to get more from it soon, because I am highly interested in what's going on with this film. I mean, we're getting the prequel series on HBO Max. Now we're going to have an animated series that seems inspired by it. And what'd you guys think?
Oh man, I feel like this looks sweet. I am very satisfied with this whole look. It's a calendar, right? Movie official calendar 2022. Yeah. So you get like 12 different images to reference. And it's just his costume is great. I love his costume. I think it looks so good. I mean, even just like the angular like chest plate and the cape and the ear, like everything just looks awesome. It looks like almost like stitched together. I just feel like I get like a really good look on details on the cover of it. And honestly, like this kind of stuff builds the hype for me big time, because when it first released, I was one of those people that was like Robert Pattinson Twilight as Batman. I was so against it. And I know I'm going to have
to eat crow. Yeah, we have the
receipt. Yeah, I know I'm going to have to eat crow.
We're going to go dig that out from the archives.
But I am excited. Maybe it's because we haven't gotten any content the past year and it's been difficult for us, but I'm freaking ready for this. I'm so pumped. And this builds the hype for sure.
All right.
I don't want to be a negative Nancy. I don't want to be that, because I am looking forward to this movie. And I will say that, like, I love Batman's suit and I love that car, like the Batmobile shots they show. It's like Knight Rider, like souped up. I'm good with it. Like it looks cool. I am conflicted about the Riddler, and I understand what they're going for, because, you know, as people pointed out in all the reactions, right? Like it's a very different thing, and it ties in with like the overall plot of like he's trying to expose the truth, he's trying to expose things in Gotham, all that stuff. It's like Gotham is being silenced, which is why he has the, you know, the thing over his mouth and all that, right? And you know, but like there are some in there that are like, I'm not gonna go as far as to say what some have said, that he's like a Dr. Doom cosplayer or any of that stuff. I'm not going that far. But what I will say is I don't love it yet. Again, reacting solely off an image, you know what I mean? Like you don't get to put the mannerisms together with it, you don't get to put the voice and the vibe. I will wait to judge until that, because it might sell me. But like this kind of combo hush Riddler thing,
I was gonna ask,
it's just not doing it for me.
You don't have any respect for a leather daddy? Come on.
It's just not doing it for me.
Love it. Is there any, like, are there any comics, does this reference like any look we've ever seen from Riddler?
He has had looks that have had him like look run down. He's had looks that have him in like similar kind of green gear, as far as like just like real low rent, not suits, that kind of the opposite thing this is going for. He's never donned
a leather mask. Thing over his mouth. He reminds kind of me thing. Of like Hannibal Lecter or something. Like, it's creepy to me.
Very kind of on the, you know, almost scarecrow side of things.
Yeah.
You know, he's very manic. He's very, you know, kind of all this kind of conspiracy stuff. There have been little flames of that in previous characterizations, but never to this extreme.
Yeah.
So
I love how they plop the glasses on top of the leather mask. They're like, I wonder if it will be green, you know?
Well, yeah. Right. We got to take a break, but to people asking in the comments, Google what a leather daddy is, but be very careful where you do it. Don't do it from work. Do not do it from work.
Don't do it at all.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a particular person who's fascinated with leather. So that's all I'll say. All right. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to break down these Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness villain rumors, talk about how it could be bringing in a new MCU Young Avenger. We're going to talk about this AT&T Discovery deal and what it means for DC fans. And we got some great comics to break down. So stay tuned on for all of that. Swear to God, every
it still did. I even saw the comment.
Every time.
Just do this.
And it's still
there. Every time. Our comeback music scares the crap out of me.
I was reading something and it totally freaked me out.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Yeah. Somebody had told said, don't let it. Yeah. Some people have been watching the show.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Milton, for trying to warn us, but it didn't help. Yeah. Well, it still got me.
That went bad.
Yeah. Because we try to get our notes shuffled and everything, and then Rich just scares us with the jump there. All right. But we're back. And, we're going to talk about some of this big kind of rumor that broke about Doctor Strange 2. Matt, surprise, I'm throwing you in for this one. Why don't you tell us, because you're our comic book expert here, who is the villain being rumored for Doctor Strange 2? What is it all about, and how does it connect to a new MCU hero?
Okay, so the rumor is, now that this is all... this is all rumors. Take this with a grain of salt. And I never know. This is another one of those Song Chi moments. I always wonder if I'm saying this correctly. Is it Shuma Gorath? Is that how you say it? I'm always curious.
That's what I would.
I mean, I think I'm a little more free with how I pronounce my evil made up deities. I don't stress it too much.
Okay. So, yeah. So the rumor is that in Doctor Strange 2. I don't want to say the title over and over again.
Nobody does. Doctor Strange 2.
That Shuma Gorath is going to be the core villain in the piece, and that he will actually be searching, or really it will actually be searching for America Chavez, who we already know is a part of the movie. And that is kind of his quest. And so Doctor Strange, and who knows where Wanda fits into all that, is going to be kind of trying to stop him from finding her. Again, that is the rumor that is going on with how she's involved in the project. Because I know when she was cast and brought in, people were kind of like, oh, that's an interesting choice. Because, you know, those two characters aren't, Doctor Strange and America aren't really necessarily in the same bubbles in the Marvel universe. They don't kind of operate in that. You know, Shuma Gorath has been depicted in a lot of ways. It's just like ancient. You'll typically see it's kind of like a very gross Starro with all the tentacles and the one eye. It's very Cthulhu-esque. There have been a ton of different things where, like, he essentially can possess you, but he can also, like, you know, eat you whole. There's like this, it depends on who has the character. It's kind of like what he can do and how powerful he can be. There was actually a story in Savage Avengers with Doctor Strange and Shuma Gorath where, like, And I can't ever remember the guy's name because I'm not the biggest Conan guy, but Conan's main villain was like essentially like eating pieces of magicians to become more powerful. And Shuma was like helping him do this. He was essentially like feeding it. It's a weird thing. Comics are weird. So that's what's currently going on with Doctor Strange. That's the current theory. I think it would be very interesting because Shuma Gorath is one of those things that, if done well, can be really menacing. I mean, if anyone's read Savage Avengers, they make that creature look like it's kind of disturbing how they make him look. Having America in it, I think, is a really interesting way to get her involved, especially because she can kind of go between realities. I don't know if they'll bring over like the utopian parallel and stuff that has to do with her origin. I don't know how much that will be, but it would also fit with like Doctor Strange Multiverse Madness, right? Different realities Shuma's going after her in her reality, but maybe before she gets here, maybe this is how America gets to this reality. Like, there's a bunch of things you can kind of play with that. But the rumor of it all is just that little bit. So just take with a grain of salt, but we'll see how it plays out. But I think it's interesting. I think it's a cool way to get her into the mix.
It is. It's also, I think we've all been like so obsessed that early on that WandaVision was like a direct lead in to Doctor Strange 2 that we've kind of come around on that thinking, right? Like, we've seen WandaVision now, we've seen Falcon and Winter Soldier, and we know that basically, even though we've joked, these are like character pieces to just move the characters to a new place and a new status quo. So we have that background so that when we go into the films, we don't have to spend time kind of building that all right up. This, I'm kind of careful about rumors that we kind of discuss on the show. I mean, I really try to wait until either we really have nothing to talk about or we actually, or it sounds credible enough that I feel like it's worth discussing. And this one is the latter, because this makes a film that is not connected to WandaVision directly, right? They're not doing that. But if Shuma Gorath, or I'm just going to call him Shuma, is, you know, going through realities, hunting this girl who's basically on a chase through realities, first of all, that's a very cool thing that could happen visually.
True.
Right? Yeah. Like her running through a door and then into another reality, or opening her doors and doing all that and kind of
star-shaped doors.
Yeah, I mean, that's very kind of like Chris Nolan-ish, like cool.
But
stuff.
Don't you think she gets her own thing then? Like, why is it? Why is Strange like about her? Like, because why is she the soul of this movie? Like, I want him to be the star of it and his story and what he's doing.
Oh, my sweet Janelle.
I do. Like, the reason
let
why
me
I love
take
the
you
first
back
one
to
was
Iron
the
Man 2, homie. Let me take you back to Iron Man 2. True. The MCU is a different kind of place in these sequels. You know what I mean?
Yep, that's like, so true.
Yeah, as we get into sequels, we move further away from the actual character stories.
Core character.
Yeah.
Darn it.
And we got to do more stuff.
We just have to share. Yeah, that is very true. You just have to share space. It's really not till the third movie that they get the spotlight back, unless you're Spider-Man.
Yeah, then it'll be third movie will be like Mordo versus Doctor Strange, right? Like, that's you know, Doctor Strange 3, Mystical Civil War.
That's great. Oh my god, yeah. I really want I love it.
But like, yeah, this one feels like it's gonna be a lot of character event stuff featuring Doctor Strange and introducing the multiverse, right? So this is kind of, I feel like this is another time that Marvel's using a solo franchise as a universe expansion piece, which, like I said, going back, that's a tradition that goes all the way back to Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
But it seems like it makes sense in the sense that, yeah, so you have a story that focuses on Doctor Strange trying to save this important kind of girl who's on a nonstop chase against this monster hunting her. And so who's the ally that can help him? Since, you know, if he doesn't have access to other realities, there is one person who can help him do that, and that is, of course, Wanda. And so her working with Doctor Strange to be able to even, you know, heighten her powers and expand and discover new dimensions literally of her powers makes sense. But of course, we know from WandaVision that Wanda will have her own agenda in this if she begins to learn like there's a reality with her kids are still alive and stuff like that. So,
well, because she heard the voices, right?
Yeah,
so they're out there in a different plane. Yeah, which I forgot about. Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. So, I mean, this makes a certain amount of sense, and it's unexpected, right? People are still saying in the comments like, come on, Nightmare and Mephisto. But that's like what we all thought would happen, right? So this would be kind of a twist that nobody saw coming, and a villain that nobody saw coming. And you could also do, I'm sure they'll have their own interpretation of Shuma able to take some kind of different form. I'm sure we're not going to see the tentacle monster the whole time. And that makes room for like for another actor of surprising casting of somebody who can come in and kind of take on that role in its mortal form or whatever you want to call it. So
also more to this point too, right? We've seen that a lot of these movies have at least one younger hero in them, right? It's all forming that young Avengers champion style squad later on, right? We're going to get that at some point. So America here, Kamala, like we know Wiccan's on the way, like all these people, right? Isaiah,
Eli,
my God.
Eli,
thank
Brown.
You. Yeah. I can't want to say Isaiah, but like we've seen in each thing, right, that there's another characters. So like, I feel like that's pretty much going to be requisite until we get whatever movie that is. We're going to have a secondary character introduced mm-hmm. in some way in each one of these. So when do we get Viv Vision? That's what I mean.
I don't know. Kate Bishop.
I'm wondering when Iron Lad's going to show up. Are we going to see him in Armor Wars? But like, yeah, they are threading this. Kevin Feige's keeping all these plates spinning, and this is about the most, I want to say logical, but it's going to be insane metaphysics stuff. But this is the most organic way I could feel like you could introduce America Chavez and have her really matter and outside of her getting her own series, like really matter and be important. And be kind of cool to people and really kind of sell her.
Yeah, not just like a little cameo or something.
No. So I'm kind of really interested. I'm kind of really interested in this. And I kind of really like this rumor. And I'm kind of hoping it plays out in some version of this. So, all right. That's Doctor Strange 2. Anybody have anything to add? Janelle?
The Boss Logic art was beautiful.
Yeah, it was pretty
fantastic. Cool. Like, he did a take on this villain with Strange. And I'm like, I would frame that too. Put that on my wall.
Yeah, I mean, Boss Logic really does. I mean, if you don't believe it, he really is good at selling these things and making you feel like this would be kind of a really cool thing to kind of take on. So yeah, check that out. And you can see that Boss Logic art on comicbook.com Marvel, where we also break down the kind of finer points of this rumor. So be sure to check that all out. On to the business side of things. So Warner Media, I feel like every 5 months, 6 months, this changes. And I can't keep up. But AT&T has had enough of Warner Media and all its crap. So it's getting rid of it. It's spinning it off, meaning we want you off our books. Like y'all and your Snyder Cut fans and all this stuff. You know, we tired. We want you out of here. So AT&T is, you know, spinning off Warner Media out of its kind of conglomerate, and Discovery is picking it up. And basically what's going to happen is,
yes, so weird.
I know. I've had a lot going on lately, and I still like, I kept looking at this and I'm like, wait, what, like, what timeline is this?
Are we happening in a multiverse?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what is happening? So basically, to compete with Disney, NBC, Universal, Netflix is CNN, TBS, TNT, HGTV, Food Network, Discovery Channels, Warner Brothers Picture, Discovery Plus, and HBO Max will now be linked all together under the Discovery banner. So Warner Media or AT&T, well, yeah, they're siphoning off Warner Media, and it'll now be under the Discovery banner. We're not going to get into crazy too much of the business. That's the general gist of it.
And we don't know what the name is going to be yet.
We don't know the finer points until like all the ink is signed and all that stuff. But what this has done is kind of created hope among DC fans, right? That now that AT&T is not calling the shots, that we could see another kind of window of, you know, chaos breeds opportunity. And we could see another window where Warner Media, specifically the DC brand, could possibly get spun around again and take another approach again, even though we've never gotten any one of these approaches fully off the ground ever since the 2010s. But that we could start to see things like they might embrace releasing the A or cut, continuing more of what Snyder had planned and doing all of that.
That'd be awesome.
Look, that's all speculation, guys. Like, we have no idea what Discovery has planned. People just think like Discovery is more kind of, will listen to fans more because it's Discovery.
Yeah. Well, they're reality based, you know, and that's usually fanfare.
But that's anyway. I'll give you
some. No, go back. That makes no sense.
They're a business. How do you think they got this successful in the first place? The fact that we're talking about Discovery is buying Warner Media is insane to me. But there's a reason.
I didn't know they had loot like that, to be honest.
Like,
I didn't know Discovery was getting it like that.
They're fiscally responsible, right? They produce shows that do really well on a pretty, I would imagine, modest to tight budget, right? They're not out there like just throwing money out the window, right? So yeah. Like, and if you look across their brands, yeah, they have a lot of stuff that hits really well with consumers. But like, again, you're talking you know, like actually some of the food stuff would probably be more expensive than you expect. But like some of the other stuff, like all the reality shows and stuff, those are machines, man. Those are like well-oiled machines. Yep. They produce profit, I would assume. So like, I don't think once they buy, once everything settles, which by the way, all this stuff, we're not really going to start to see the stuff really start to form of like what their rule over this will look like for like 2 years, right? Because you got so much stuff in the pipeline already. Things are in development. You're not really going to see all that stuff really manifest until then. So I don't see them going, well, hey, we love Zack Snyder. Let's green light everything. Let's green light the air cut and let's green light the, I know there was a Birds of Prey cut that people are already talking about. Like, let's do that. Like, I don't see them just buying the thing and then going, here's money. Here, do yeah. it. Like, it's no, they're going to see what works over the course of time, see what is profitable, see what areas are not. Yeah. Like, okay. Because, like, that makes all the sense. Also, one of the big things here, too, was that Warner Brothers Interactive kind of got split up. So like not all of the game studios moved over. So some of the studios were stayed on the like AT&T side and others moved over as to like which ones, like who knows. But like there's some big games coming out from Warner Brothers. So I am kind of curious, is like Gotham Knights, Suicide Squad game coming from Rocksteady. Like what is all that shakeout? Who is that under? I'm still not quite clear on who that's all under. So like, yeah. So I just don't think, like, it's kind of one of those, like, slow your roll. It's not like that all stuff is not going to happen. And I please, for the love of Lord, do not do another Rebirth or do not do another 5G or New 52. Oh my God. Stuff is going well right now. I think Future State ultimately worked in like throwing out a bunch of ideas, throwing out a bunch of creative teams, and some things have stuck, and we're starting to see those series. We're going to talk about one today, roll out. Just let it play out for the love. Don't go back to the drawing board. Just let stuff play out.
This has been like the hopeful, the wishful thinking episode today.
That's my soliloquy.
Lots of like, we don't know what's going to happen, but we have this little bit of information. We'll just try to go with it.
Also, this just like how does AT&T like just 3 years ago is when we were talking about, oh, my God, like this makes all the sense in the world. AT&T has all these other branches and all this communications empire. And oh, my God, they've got they're in telecommunications. Right. Like what like better partner to do with all this other web stuff and interactive stuff, or whatever. And like like nothing. They got all this debt. Like they're just like, no. And I'm like, really? Well, then why did you buy it?
Oh my gosh.
All right. That's
me. Yeah. I mean, the debt thing is crazy. Like that's the craziest thing that came out of this is just reading about how much debt like these companies are carrying and just like, yeah, like who's buying this? Who wanted this? Like, I'm going to be honest. I'm really confused about this one. I never saw this coming. It was not on my 2021 bingo card.
No, same. I
thought Warner Media was just settling down and AT&T was just like putting a plan into place.
Right.
And now they're like, nah. See, I feel like you Snyder cut people. I mean, I guess I'm in that crowd too. Like,
yeah,
you just annoyed the hell out of them. Right.
Well, they also just got rid of DirecTV, didn't they? That was like a little bit ago.
Yeah.
Like they offshelled that big thing that they bought.
Oh, gosh, I didn't even know that.
For however many. Yeah, they it's not. It's been a rocky road.
Well, Matt went off, but your comments are going off, too. Yeah. Ben Sand says makes more sense than a cell phone company owning Warner Media. And Alex says he's waiting for the sucker punch cut to come out of this.
You know? Nice.
Yeah, wow.
Dude, I will watch that.
Toss a grenade. Sign me
up for that.
Yeah. Our viewers, you guys are crazy, man. I love you. You guys are crazy. Yeah, sucker punch cut. Oh, man. So that's what's going on. So we're going to keep an eye on this and see what it means for the kind of content that comes out of Warner Media and what kind of future changes that might bring about. But yeah, that's it for business. Let's go to something more fun. Matt, let's go through comics this week.
Woohoo! We're going to start. We're already on the DC bandwagon, so we're just going to stay there. So we're going to talk about one of those books I alluded to. One of the books we talked about the most during Future State, I think it was pretty much Batman and whatever was going on with Wonder Woman. Those were kind of the two biggest takeaways from that event. And Yara Flor was, to me, like the shining star of that whole event. So now we're actually getting her own series. Joelle Jones is back on writing and art duties. Jordi Belair is also on the book on coloring duties, and it looks stunning. And what's great about this to me is that it actually, so it introduces some stuff about her past. By the way, I will be getting into spoilers, so spoiler warning. I will try to be light on the spoilers. I don't want to spoil the whole book for you, but again, I will be touching on some stuff. I know it's Wednesday, so you know it came out yesterday. There you go. So it does touch on like her past a little bit, but I think it does a really good job of like setting, giving you an impression of who this character is even early in life, and then running with the present. Like we only stay there for a couple pages, and then we're right into the present, and it works in so much of like what's going on around the world, kind of in the Wonder Woman universe, right? We see Nubia as the new queen of Themyscira. We see like what's going on in Brazil, and you get all these ties to who she is. And the whole issue is like making her important. Like it's kind of putting her on this thing of like, this person is important. You should care. And it's not just like telling you you should care. It's like showing you the effect, like just her presence is kind of in this world is kind of having, and there's this mystery about it. And I dug it. I mean, from the moment she gets on the page, her personality is just like, she's great. I just could watch her. She talks to this woman on the tour bus, or they're about to get on the tour bus. They're on the flight. And like, she's just talking to her, giving her her life story. And this woman did not ask for any of it. She like asked like, how are you? And she just rambles off. And like, I don't know, she just feels like a member of my family. So I was just immediately taken with her. And it's gorgeous. And I think by the end, it pops a compelling hook to get you in if you are new to this character. Again, you can be new to this character. I feel it does a good job of giving you enough. You don't have to go back and read Future State. I feel like if you do, you'll have an even better sense of who she is, but I don't think you have to. So that's Wonder Girl number one. What did you guys think?
I'm going to say, I think Yara Flor is possibly the strongest candidate that DC has put out for an all-star new character that I've seen in a while. She is like heads above. I mean, even the Green Lantern stuff that they've done, you know, Far Sector and all that. Like, I think she is just, she's a great character, and it's like impossible not to like her just because just of how she is. They do at once this, the same thing they did for Diana in the Wonder Woman movie with the kind of fish out of water kind of, you know, new to embracing her power type thing that makes her kind of funny. But I mean, it's also Brazilian as hell. Like, I mean, this first issue is super Brazilian. Like there's a lot of stuff in it, and it's just, so that makes it a very different take on this character at the same time. And yeah, I love her, and I loved her in Future State, and I love this first issue. I will say my caveat is a lot of the larger Wonder Woman mythology is confusing me in this issue. And there's like one sideward split page where I just was like, okay, I'm lost for a minute here. But as long as it seems like what's going on with like Hera and Nubia and Queen Nubia and like, and Artemides and like kind of her weird like rogue sector, like I don't remember or know all of that Wonder Woman lore well enough yet. But obviously Yara's presence is something that's shaking this whole thing up. But the scenes of her, like you said, are really good. Just that kind of juxtaposition opening with her childhood memories and this kind of scary, frightening event, you know, while you're hearing the airplane voiceovers, like at the same time to her scene with the old lady, to just riding a bus through Brazilian traffic and like all that stuff, like is great. And like you said, Future State, like, I mean, that was my top Future State payoff for sure, was her book. And yeah, I do love all three of these current Wonder Woman characters, Diana, Nubia, but I love Yara the most. And I'm still really pissed that they canceled her TV show. So,
man, that's so,
yeah. But yeah, it's a good start. And the ending, like her just kind of taking on different, and I like kind of like when Brian Azzarello took over Wonder Woman, I think that was New 52, the kind of Greek mythology coming into it, and like her getting kind of called by a siren at the end, you know, and that whole thing. And in Future State with her riding the Pegasus and like fighting these kind of mythical monsters, but doing it from this very kind of young Latina kind of modern viewpoint was really, really good. And I think that'll be the hook for this series. And I think the subsequent issues are going to be even stronger than this debut issue.
That was beautifully said, Kofi.
That was really well
done. I think I just zoned out. You know that scene in Old School where Will Ferrell like zones out and gives like this incredible answer?
Yes, that was just the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know how to add on to that, but I will just say that like I cannot get enough of this artwork. This is my favorite artwork I've ever seen in any comic I've ever read. I just am obsessed with how they portray a woman. She just looks so hot. Like, I don't know what else to say. And she has.
You said it. I know.
Like,
and Matt, but
that's
yes,
why I'm here.
Yes, you're not incorrect about that.
I can say those things. She's just stunning. I'm like, I want to be her. I want to be her best friend. It just, she's awesome. Yara's awesome. I love this book. I loved the comics this week, and I'm ready to read more. I'm definitely ready to hear more of her story. And I want her, like Kofi said, I can't believe that her series got canceled, but I'm hoping someday we get like a live action version of her. Like, she's just awesome. Awesome.
This is one of those things, right? We talk about Discovery. Pay attention and do like bring her into the fold at some point in whatever television movie plans you have. Like, this is just one of those characters. Like, if at some point in time we're all going to look back and we're going to go, why did that take so long? Like, it's just do it. You know what I mean? Find a vehicle that works for her, because like, she's a star. She's a star. There's just nothing else I can say.
Could you imagine seeing like someone playing her on screen opposite Gal Gadot? Like, that'd be amazing.
Oh my God. I have goosebumps. That would be nuts.
But I say that all to say I can't wait for like the first big event team up that brings Yara, Nubia, and Diana together for some kind of thing. That I'm gonna be there for that. Yeah, I'll be there for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just love to, before we move on to another book, what Kofi said was like one of my favorite parts of the book, even that 3-page spread. What I did love about that was that, because I do understand like that, I even had to go back and kind of, okay, well, where do they fit in? Okay. That's a little confusing. It's a gorgeous panel. It's a gorgeous page, but like they make each one of those so distinct from her world. Like, they're all like, they all feel different. Like, when you're with Yara, you're with Yara, and like everything has that, like, feels like an extension of her. When you're with the gods of Olympus, it kind of feels like it's old, you know. It's kind of almost has like a very kind of snobby, rich, dated feel to just like the colors and like the way that they are presented. And then you go to like Nubia and everything's regal, and I get it's each one feels distinct and feels like its own entity. And I'm excited to see kind of all those clash. And then like, we still have Diana out there like doing her own thing somewhere, you know? So yeah, it's awesome. Moving on to Song Chi. Said it right. Song Chi, which the Song Chi number one, is also kind of subtitled Song Chi versus the Marvel Universe. So when you read that, you probably kind of have an idea of what to expect. But it's, what I dug was I went in with that expectation. And after reading a lot of like current Avengers, I've been like, okay, like we're going to get, you know, the typical thing, right? Where you get someone, you're encountering a hero and like, you don't understand why. So there's some confusion. So they battle and then they team up. Right. I was kind of looking for that template. I was thankfully a little surprised then when it didn't exactly, this, at least this first issue did not exactly play out that way. So that actually made me happy. So for those who don't know, recent books have brought Shang-Chi is now the leader, and I always screw up the name, so I'm reading it, leader of the Five Weapon Society. I always call it something different. He's now leader of the Five Weapon Society. So for people who kind of remember Shadowland for Daredevil, when Matt Murdock kind of took control of the hand, there's some similar vibes here. He is now the head of this organization. It was his father's organization. And now, you know, there's some really funny bits with like him and his sister. And like, she keeps calling him, I forget exactly
Supreme leader
and stuff. Yeah. And he's like, you know, and she wants to be called, like, her code name is Dagger. So, like, he's like, don't call
Deadly
me that.
Dagger.
Right. And he's like, don't call me that in, like, public. And she's like, oh, Supreme leader. Like, she just rolls off because, like, that's her world. And he's like, no, like, he's out with Spider-Man. Right. And Spider-Man, they end up in the team up. And I thought that whole thing was hilarious because she's like, why do you talk like I forget her exact words, but she's like, why do you talk like a nerd in front of him? Why do you talk like that? You're so odd. Like, you're supposed to just be this commanding thing. He's like, just shush, stay here. And she never listens. That whole dynamic was great for me. I love that part about it. And if I feel like if they focus on that going forward, that's money. The actual, like, core, you know, like, things popping up, investigation kind of mystery around it, I don't necessarily care so much about yet. But that can be defined later. But the seeing the relationships with him, with the other heroes, once they kind of realize, there's a great little thing right at the end where Spider-Man's like, are you still, like, one of us? You know, and there's that is really, I thought that was really good. So if they keep up that next issue, I think is Cap. He's going to have an interaction with Captain America. So at least from the cover. So that is really interesting. So that whole at play, it was really good. It was better than I expected. I didn't really know what to expect kind of going into this, but it delivered for me. What do you guys think?
I thought that there are a lot of risky things they did in this issue. First of all, like you said, we've seen the trope of, especially with the kind of Asian culture side of the Marvel Universe, where we've seen other heroes step up and, like, take control of the hand, Daredevil. I think even Black Panther was a leader of it for a while or something like that. Like, that all happened. So you're rolling out this trope. They basically gave Shang-Chi a Damian Wayne who, you know, and that's, like, the least expected person you would expect to have a Damian Wayne attached to him. And they threw in another hero, major hero, into the first issue. And you'd say, oh, this could all go really badly. But like you said, what they did a brilliant job of is kind of illustrating where Shang-Chi is right now and the relationships he has and this kind of dual line he's straddling, being the commander of this, you know, ancient society of, like, criminal ninja or murderous ninjas, and being a superhero of the Marvel Universe and an Avenger and somebody who knows Spider-Man and is friends with Spider-Man. But it all worked. Like, his sister is hilarious. The whole, like, call me Deadly Dagger and calling him Brother Hand is the other thing.
Brother Hand, that's the one. Yeah.
And her, like, always, you know, being the hardcore devotee of this, you know, assassin organization, just like Damian was once upon a time, and kind of being his PR rep at the same time, be like, you are speaking to the Supreme Leader. And Spider-Man's like, what? And then, like, he's like, yo, chill. Yeah, there is a lot of kind of mysticism and kind of ancient secrets that are hinted at that look like it could be really interesting. And it gives Shang-Chi a bit more to do than just use Kung Fu in this kind of, and being a generic character, right?
Right.
Like, he is doing this. I could easily see this being a kind of prelude to what the outcome of the movie is. Because in the movie, he has to go back and finally face his father and his father's organization, the Ten Rings, and all of that. And I could easily see the Shang-Chi movie ending with him having to step up and command this thing that, you know, he now has to keep under control in with a bunch of fanatics who don't necessarily agree with his philosophy. So I feel like there's a little Marvel synchronization going on here, but it worked. This issue really worked. And Spider-Man is a great addition to it because, you know, this thing with Shang-Chi and his sister is, like, really super serious, but Spider-Man is, like, the complete opposite. And her just interpretation of Spider-Man is hilarious, like, complaining about his webbing and, like, like, chewing gum. Oh, yeah,
that's right. Yeah, it feels like snot.
Yeah, it feels like snot or chewing gum. It's Shang-Chi trying to, like, defend him and kind of, like, these characters from this particular corner of the Marvel Universe seeing their POV of the rest of the kind of heroes and stuff around them, knowing they're these killer kind of martial arts and ninjas and stuff. It has potential to be really interesting, and it's more interesting than I think I've ever been about Shang-Chi.
I agree.
Janelle, yeah, what you think? Like, as an entry comic book for me with this hero, it was nice. I felt like I kind of understood everything. I don't know if that's because I'm a little bit familiar because of the movies that are coming out. I feel like the trailers really, really helped me, or the trailer, to understand this kind of world that he exists in. And you know, his dad, you know, being a bad guy, and it helped. I think it's nice to have a little bit of background knowledge, but really that's all that I have, like just that little bit. And I could still chew on this and understand what was going on. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was intriguing. And I think having Spider-Man in there, a very familiar character that we all love, and kind of trolling him a little bit was awesome. And it was just really, really well done and really easy to read as a first time Shang-Chi reader. It really, and I thought they did a great job with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Also it's kind of interesting. Some of the stuff we were talking about, kind of the artifacts and like them collecting. So like next issue, they're actually, so there's a cosmic cube that will go up for sale. Oh. It's going to go up for auction. So like AIM, Hydra, also the Five Weapons Society are all bidding on this thing. And that is how like Cap comes into the picture, right? So this is, if they kind of take this thing and kind of run with it for every issue, where there's the main focus is not running into the Marvel hero. The main focus is we're trying to build this organization. He's trying to keep them on the semi straight and narrow. And then a hero just kind of is in the mix, because naturally a hero would be surveilling this or something like that. That's interesting to me. Like that, if you can keep that going and do that throughout the series, because I believe it's a mini series, right? I don't think it's actually a full on ongoing, but I could be wrong. I have to double check. But I think that would be interesting and keep it from falling into what some of the other ones have fallen, where it's just very formulaic. So yeah, I dug this, and I agree with Kofi. I think this is actually the most interested I've been in the character for a minute. Real quick, some quick shout outs here for other books coming out this week. Well, actually, no, Kofi, did you want to get into?
I just want to say, I just want to talk about first, some people said in the comments earlier, and you know what? I didn't put this on the sheet because it's been, I mean, I feel like it was ages ago, but yeah, the Snake Eyes teaser did come out this week for the Snake Eyes movie.
Oh, that's right.
Looked pretty cool. Looked pretty cool so far. Yeah, Snake Eyes, the G.I. Joe Origins movie, during the MTV Movie Awards, put out its first teaser, and it looks pretty cool. So we've been into Snake Eyes this week. And then we got this issue, number 3 of Batman Fortnite 0. And again, this series is so much more enjoyable than it has any freaking right to be.
I gotta read it.
Right to be. It makes me happy and angry at the same time. I'm like sitting there and I saw it come through, and I was like, oh, and I dug into it, and I was like, this is so good. Why is this so good? Like, and is this stupid thing gonna get me to play Fortnite again? Probably.
Oh no.
Because
you like, know it.
Because this issue, they're gonna do a Snake Eyes skin as for the movie. They're doing a Batman skin. Like, you can actually
the Catwoman skin's in the store now.
Yeah, you can actually recreate this fight in the game if you want to. Oh, so like, yeah. But yeah, Batman Fortnite has no business being this good. And when you roll out something that's such a pure gimmick as a Batman, Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe crossover, like it's supposed to be like cheesy kind of comic book stuff. But this was so good. It was so good. And a lot of it didn't even, it had no actual dialogue.
They don't say a word.
They don't say a word in this entire issue.
It's all like chat dialogue.
Yeah, it's chat dialogue by Fortnite's mysterious, the people controlling the island, which is going to now be this big kind of reveal for the game. You know, who's running this island and creating these storms. But like, yeah, and basically, and we're going to say some spoilers. It's basically an issue of Batman and Snake Eyes dueling, like, you know, live, die, repeat style, Tom Cruise style, over and over again, until they've done it so many times that they form some kind of unspoken bond of respect. And like, it's Snake Eyes lets Batman win Fortnite. You're like, yeah. And the kind of voiceovers from the controllers is really good, because they're like, man, like both these guys are like crazy impressive. They know all these martial arts. They're equally matched. The visuals are so great of like Batman throwing 3 batarangs, Snake Eyes throwing 3 daggers. They each dodge one and catch 2. And then they're just like looking at each other.
Everybody watching them. Yeah. Like none of the other combatants are fighting.
Yeah. They're It's so awesome that they shut down Fortnite and everybody just stands around and watches it like a Fortnite event. Man, these two, because they just, Batman is like wiping out everybody so quickly that they need to stop him from getting out of the game, because he keeps almost winning. And so they throw Snake Eyes in there as a deterrent to kind of keep him from winning. But yeah, this was, if you've ever had those lunchroom conversations about like what would happen if Batman went up against like Snake Eyes, like this was awesome. In a fulfillment of all that stuff in a Fortnite game. So I don't understand how this is working. Again, this timeline's very confusing now, but here we
Discovery bought Discovery owns DC.
Yeah. And one of the best, and Batman Fortnite's one of the best comics out right now.
What's going on?
Well, also that is a spicy take, but I like it, Bruce Wayne 25. I hate that I like Batman Fortnite more than the Joker War run.
Yeah, wow. and it's not even a comparable. I would read Batman Fortnite
totally better.
10 times over and the Joker series 10 times over before I went back and read Joker Run.
That's kind of true, man. I'm right there with you. Quick mentions here before we get rolling. The new issue of Justice League. So we had previously talked about Justice League and like the new team lineup. And so in this issue, they actually get to Naomi's world. And they actually start to like meet some other people in her world. And there's some back and forth fights. It's a classic like superhero fight, but like because they're on her world, their powers are acting a little differently and stuff. So there's some great one-on-one stuff. This is my favorite Justice League team in years.
Wow.
I love this team so much. And again, it just comes down to like Naomi and Black Adam shake up the format so much. And like seeing Black Adam come to like Superman's aid is a sight I never thought I'd see. And there's a great scene between Batman and Naomi where he's trying to calm her down because like her powers are phasing and she's actually like phasing out of reality for a minute. And he says like one phrase and I'm blanking now on the phrase. It is my memory is like garbage today. So I'm blanking on the phrase, but he says it and it's so random. She's like, "What is that mean?" And he's like, "I don't know, it just works." And then he walks away. Like Bendis's Batman is so good in this series. So definitely shout that out. Also, Stray Dogs. If you're not reading this, we're almost to the final issue. Stray Dogs is like a Don Bluth movie mixed with Silence of the Lambs. And it's all about dogs. So like the dogs, it's like Oliver and Company, but like twisted. And it is a like they are starting to remember that like their owner now is a serial killer and they're putting all these memories together of like how they ended up in his house. And like, there's some screwed up stuff that goes on this book, but like it screws me over every month. Like it hits me right here. I'm just a puddle of emotions and stuff after this book every month. And I cannot stop reading it. So we're almost to the last issue and it screwed me up a lot. I was already messed up, but it screwed me up even more. But I got to read it everywhere. And then Way of X number 2. We talked about Way of X number 1. And if you thought it would drop off, like Way of X number 2, I thought was just as good. And you get so many. There's a huge reveal at the end that I will not spoil here because Marvel books just came out. So I'm not going to do that. But to me, that's a huge thing. And there's so much really interesting stuff between Legion and Nightcrawler. Like so many good comics this week. So, yes, definitely I would check those out. But that's comics.
All right, that does it for a regular show. I have my own quick mentions to mention. I don't think I've said it, but season 2 of Mythic Quest is here, and yeah, if you guys are watching that, Mythic Quest is the bomb from Rob McElroy or Rob McElhenney. I can't say his name. The dude who did Always Sunny in Philadelphia has a show on Apple Plus called Mythic Quest. It's about a gaming company, and if you're into gaming at all, it's really hilarious. And even if you're not, just a workplace comedy, it's really hilarious. It's back. I started watching Mayor of Easttown, that Kate Winslet series on HBO Max, mostly because of the SNL skit where they did called Murder, where they're making fun of the fact that this show is set in Pennsylvania, and it is the most Pennsylvania AF thing I've ever seen. I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm from my wife is in and I went to school in Western. I've been all over Pennsylvania, and this show references so much Pennsylvania stuff. It is so Pennsylvania. And so if you know anything about PA, this is a great show to check out. And it's also just a good kind of murder mystery series. We have to mention that MODOK is out.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that. Yeah, because I forgot entirely about that until I saw our ad actually running. And I'm like, oh, yeah, MODOK's out. But Adam Barnhart, who's been on the show, one of our Marvel experts, he reviewed it. And MODOK is kind of premiering on Hulu with a perfect, very good scores. People say it's kind of adult. It's twisted.
It looks hilarious.
And it's pretty hilarious. So, yeah, check out MODOK on Hulu. And Love, Death, and Robots. Season 2 premiered on Netflix last week, and I just spent the whole Friday like watching it, and then I went back and watched season 1, Great series. If you don't know what that is, it's an anthology series of short, of animated shorts. Some are kind of traditional cartoon animated. A lot of them are kind of really cutting edge CGI animated and look photorealistic. But it's basically, the only rules are they're stories that have to do with love, death, and robots. So there's a lot of ways that that comes across. And there are some really, while I think season one was still stronger, there are some pretty interesting ones in season two that are pretty messed up. And season one is also really messed up and good sci-fi stuff if you haven't watched that. So check that out on Netflix. And that's it for my my recommendations. Matt, did you have any?
Yeah, so a little wrestling talk here. So next week is a huge week. And then we also got some big news for AEW today. So part of the Upfronts presentations going on announced that AEW will be moving Dynamite. Their main show will be moving to TBS starting in 2022. They are currently on TNT. But the other big news was that they were adding another show. So they already have AEW Dynamite and AEW Dark. So many W's. Now they will have AEW Rampage. Which will be beginning later this year, I believe. So, yeah, that's a lot of big. If you're an AEW fan, it's not going anywhere. They also announced that there's going to be four original specials per year. So, I mean, they're going all in. But it is interesting that they're moving to TBS. So I know our boy Connor Casey will have is doing an interview with them soon. So he will have hopefully some details on the whys and things like that. Also, our boy Karrion Kross is going to be taking on Finn Balor for round two of one of the best matches of the year. They're going to have that on next week's NXT. And seriously, if you go watch, they did a primer, essentially like a recap and just like a teaser to get you hyped for it on last night's NXT. Just go watch that. It's on Twitter. Just go watch that. And like, if you're not hyped, I swear you don't have like a pulse. it's going to be so good. So that is me.
Great. The only thing that I really am going to add to this, because I feel like you guys really wrap it up with a bow so perfectly, is I actually like sunk my teeth into the CNN, the movies kind of documentary style show. And they go by, you know,
nerd.
So many years, but it's awesome because you kind of get this background on so many different styles of movies. And I loved it. I started making a list of like, oh my God, I got to watch that one again. Oh my God, I got to watch that one again. And it gives you kind of the background on certain movies, from like Jaws to musicals, like My Fair Lady to superhero films. Like it just covers everything and all of the different, you know, generational films and the groundbreaking films and award-winning films. And it's really cool. If you're a big movie fan, I think you'll really enjoy this. You kind of forget how many awesome movies have been made, and they kind of highlight some.
Does it cover the best Christmas movie of all time, White Christmas?
Maybe. I know they show Elf.
Oh, we go.
They probably do. But yes, I agree with Elf. You. White Christmas is the best Christmas movie.
It is.
100%.
Not even close.
Yep. Then Elf. Then Home Alone 2.
All right. Thank you, Janelle. Oh, also, I don't usually hype other things, but if you guys are fans of the Schmoes and the Schmodown franchise, which is basically like movie trivia meets wrestling, your boy Kofi Outlaw competes in the FCL League, which is like their NXT League. And you got to see my match from yesterday. I set some records yesterday, so you got to check that out. So check out your boy repping for comic book in the FCL League. And yesterday's match, I had a really great competitor, Vanessa Fitzsimmons. Shout out to her. She's on Twitter. You can check her out. Really hard competition, really great match. And I set some history and brought it home for Comic Book Nation.
Boom. So
check that out. FCL League, Schmodown. Check out your boy on that.
Representing the brand.
Yeah. Jim's always, well, I go out there to do it. And Jim's always like, yeah, you're cool to do that. Don't lose. Like, you know, like soft threat. Soft threat. So oh, did I lose?
So great. What
happened? Oh, but yeah, set some records yesterday. Set some records, made some history. And rep for Comic Book Nation and all you. So
let's go.
That'll do it for the show. Thank you guys for tuning into Comic Book Nation. We put up new episodes every Wednesday where we go live on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. If you don't want to watch the live video, they'll all be replayed as soon as we're done broadcasting on those platforms. You can also go to your traditional podcast platforms to download audio versions of the podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, everything. You can tell your Google or any smart home device to fire up Comic Book Nation Podcast, and we'll get it going for you. If you like the show, go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. If you want to follow us, there's the @ComicBookNation Twitter account you can sign up for. You can follow us individually. I'm @KofiOutlaw. Over here.
Yeah, you are.
I am @AcularCV.
And I am @JanelleWheeler.
If you like what we're doing here and you are specifically like a heavy Marvel fan, we also have the Phase Zero podcast with our own Brandon Davis and a bunch of the other crack comic book team every Friday that goes up about 12 noon Eastern. So check that out as well. And otherwise, we'll see you guys next week as the entertainment industry begins to get back in motion. Theaters are getting back in motion. We're going to be out here doing things, getting these movies reviewed. I know that
in the studio.
Yeah, I think when does A Quiet Place 2 come out? Is that this week? I think so. I don't remember. I mean, it's so hard to get back into this and know when movies are
actually starting. Cruella is soon. Cruella.
Yeah, we're going to get back into movies. We're going to be getting back into big TV. We're going to be getting back into all of that this summer. And I am so psyched. So I hope you guys are along for the ride, too. Yes. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. As always, peace.
Bye, guys.